Today and tomorrow, The Nolan Show will bring you political stories which will shock many members of you, the public. You heard me tell you last week that we've had a special investigations team looking at what actually happened with the renewable heat incentive scheme, where £400 million of government spending, your money, has been committed over a 20-year period. We are ready to break two stories to you this morning. Now remember, civil servants and officials have been getting bombarded with blame for not closing down the overly lucrative payments on RHI sooner. But we have discovered the real truth. There was pressure from the office of the First and Deputy First Minister and the DUP, which delayed changes to the original RHI scheme. That interference was highly significant because it delayed the period of the lucrative payments being stopped. And it was during that period, when it remained open, that a spike in applications, the cause of so many financial concerns. The BBC's Ireland correspondent Chris Buckler has been working with the Nolan team on this. He's in the studio with me now. We've been talking about this, Chris, for a week now, but these are explosive new accusations. Set this out for us.
Yeah, you have been talking about this for some time, but just a reminder to begin with. The scheme was designed to encourage firms to use renewable energy to heat their businesses, and what an incentive this was. The original terms of the scheme worked like this. For every pound a company spends on fuel, they get around £1.60 back, and that is for a 20-year period. But the boilers, of course, can be relatively expensive to buy, and actually, initially, companies were slowish to see that, to sign up to the scheme. But in 2015, that really changed, and officials in the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Investment became really concerned, really worried at the start of summer in 2015. We know they raised the issue in June and that they raised it formally in July, making clear that they wanted the original scheme closed or at least changed to ensure it didn't get financially out of control.
So think about this. These were senior civil servants saying there is a real danger. Things could get out of control and it could become unaffordable. Up to now, people like me have been saying, why didn't the senior civil servants close the scheme sooner? What we as a programme, what the Nolan Show is saying this morning, is that the senior civil servants were saying it. We now know as a fact that the most senior civil servant, Andrew McCormick, said in June that he wanted the scheme closed in September. If it had closed then, the spike might not have happened. So why did it not close in September? There's a public question this morning. Who was putting the pressure on? There's another one. Who stopped it closing?
Well, I think realistically, looking at all the information, Stephen, I think the 1st of October might have been practically the earliest date for the changes to be actually set in stone and introduced. But we have several bits of information that suggest that there were real concerns in the Department of Enterprise, that there was political pressure to keep the original scheme open. And we have some documentation of that. For example, we do have an email in which a DUP official challenges a note of decisions made, claiming that then Enterprise Minister, who was Jonathan Bell, had cleared a submission to close the original scheme on the 4th of September 2015. Of course, it then remained open for another 2 months. And in his reply, Andrew McCormick's name comes up again. Remember, as you said, he is one of the most senior civil servants at Stormont. He is the permanent secretary of the Department of Enterprise. And he makes clear his original note was right, but that in Andrew McCormick's words, wider reluctance delayed the debate, which led the scheme only to be changed in the middle of November. Now, that, of course, doesn't take away responsibility from officials. There are really senior civil servants, and I can tell you this, who accept that they could and probably should have done more to identify and address the real problems with this scheme earlier, maybe pushed back harder themselves. But there was political pushback as well.
And that period up to November is a really crucial period, because during that period, remember this, there was a big spike in applications. It was during that delay, caused by the interference of individuals, hundreds of millions of pounds worth of RHI commitments were made.
Yeah, I mean, just have a look at the figures, Stephen. In 2.5 years, so this is a 2.5 year period up to March 2015, there were 564 applications for this scheme, OK? Then it really takes off. Compared to a 2.5 year period when there's 564 applications, In the months between April and September 2015, there were 359 applications, and that's when civil servants saw it going up. But then, in the period where the delays took place, and where it is now claimed that there was political pressure from the Office of the First and Deputy First Minister and the DUP to keep the original scheme open for longer, there is a really noticeable spike. The Audit Office says that there were 429 applications in October 2015 and then 452 in November. Those 2 months, and prepare for this figure, are expected to cost £485 million. That's a projected figure in an Audit Office report. And that's the period where it really got out of control. Now, there may well have been a spike, we have to say, when the closure of the scheme was announced, even if that happened earlier. But these are still significant figures.
So big questions this morning for OFM, DFM and the DUP, if there was political pressure coming from their office. Now, we sent questions into the executive office about this. Here's what we asked, and the answer's really important that you listen to them. The question that we sent, first of all, to the executive office, the following. Did any DUP special advisers or any individuals from the then Office of First and Deputy First Minister act to try to delay or prevent the closure of the original version of the non-domestic RHI scheme in the months leading up to the 17th of November 2015? Here's how they answered that question. A decision to close the original scheme, or more accurately, to amend the original scheme, was taken by the responsible minister, the Minister for the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Investment, on the 2nd of September 2015. That decision was to take effect from the 4th of November 2015. No DUP special advisor or any other individuals from the then Office of First and Deputy First Minister sought to prevent the closure of the original scheme. Indeed, the date from which the scheme was to be amended and terms of any such amendment of the scheme were a matter for the responsible minister. In the event the scheme did not close until the 18th of November due to a delay in securing financial and legal approvals. But look, Chris, how they've answered that question about delay. Look how they've answered it.
I mean, it's a simple question. We asked, did they try to delay or prevent the closure of this original scheme? They have specifically ignored the question delay, which is what we are saying today, that there was political pressure to try and delay this. Now, they have said in response, they have actually taken our words and put them in inverted commas and said closure of the original scheme. They have ignored completely the question of delay.
And that is the key question this morning. Who was it that put pressure to delay the scheme? The TV leader, Jim Allister, listening to this morning. Your reaction to this, Jim?
Well, my reaction is that it should be the DUP on the phone answering your question, because the allegation seems to be that a DUP insider, a government insider, in terms of a SPAD or someone of that ilk, applied pressure to delay. Now, if that is the allegation, then the DUP needs to front up and answer it. And apparently they didn't answer.
Well, the executive office has ducked the question about delay. They have not answered it.
Apparently they did duck the question asked, and that only compounds the suspicion which surrounds this whole thing. And I really do think that this arrogant attitude from the DUP that they can simply bat all this away and that the public can be treated in this manner is adding to the rising temperature of fury about this. And Arlene Foster and her SPADs and all involved need to come up, front it up, and answer the questions. They're reasonable questions. Why are they not being answered? And I think you should elaborate, if you can, on the emails that you're referring to, because I think the public are entitled to know who was saying what, and when they were saying it, and why they were saying it. And the why, of course, is very interesting. If there then is a correlation between the individuals who were taking advantage of the delay, and if there were politicians or special advisers seeking to facilitate
delay. Well, I can reveal this morning that we have the emails, Chris.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, just on that point, I mean, there are bits of the email that we're revealing and bits that we aren't. And what the email points to is that in Stormont, in the department, there is a much wider and detailed note of what was going on at that time. But just to be clear, and I'll quote directly again from Andrew McCormick, who is the permanent secretary of the Department of Enterprise. He makes clear that in his view, wider reluctance delayed the debate, which led the scheme only to be changed in the middle of November. And I can also tell you that he was responding to a DUP official who was basically concerned by the nature of the note. But he, Andrew McCormick, who, as I say, a very senior civil servant, making clear that he believes the note is accurate.
So that's why we sent questions to Mr. McCormick yesterday, to Andrew McCormick. Now, remember, he is one of the, he's the most senior civil servant in the government in Northern Ireland. Here are the questions for Mr. McCormick that he was unable to answer. Did any DUP special advisers or any individuals from the Office of First and Deputy First Minister act to try to delay or prevent the closure of the original version of the non-domestic RHI scheme in the months leading up to November 17th, 2015? The response was Mr. McCormick wasn't available for interview. I'll read a full response from the Department for Economy in a second or two. Question two for Mr. McCormick. Had you been attempting to close of the original version of the scheme since early summer and with an original planned date of September? Question three. To your knowledge, did Arlene Foster, as First Minister, in fact, we'll come to that in a second because that's a second story that we're going to reveal in just a moment. We'll first of all get reaction from the leader of the SDLP, Colm Eastwood. Mr. Eastwood, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Your reaction to this. We are saying as a programme that there was pressure from the Office of First and Deputy First Minister and the DUP to delay the closure of this scheme.
Well, this is just astonishing. We've been told for the last week that it's all the civil services' fault and they bear a lot of responsibility in this. Mrs. Foster has totally ignored the fact that she created this policy and it is the policy's fault that has got us into this situation. But now what we hear is that, I think what you're saying, Stephen, is that officials from OFM, DFM and the DUP have been putting pressure on to stop this scheme being taken in hand. We have been concerned from the very beginning about all of this, but in particular about this spike. And we've been asking questions, trying to find out who benefited during that period. Because the suspicion out there, and it hasn't been... We haven't had any reason not to suspect this because of the answers we've been getting. The suspicion out there has been that certain people piled into this scheme because they were told to, because they were told this was closing down. And that's what we've been driving at all week. And we've given the First Minister a week now to come and answer some of these questions. And I don't think it's been she has come up to the plate at all. But there are now wider questions. I'm hearing this for the first time, Stephen, as you'll appreciate, and I don't have the emails in front of me. If an official from OFM, DFM was...
And the DUP.
Yeah, and the DUP. But just let me expand this point. If an official from the OFM, DFM was trying to ensure that this scheme was extended or kept open, where was Sinn Féin? Because this is a joint office. And in a joint office like that, first of all, I remember being in the OFM DFM committee and they couldn't get anything done because they couldn't agree anything. So they can't have officials from that department doing anything without the say-so of both ministers. Where were the SPADs? Where were the ministers? How did they not see this happening? And I just think there are more and more questions today and we are just, I think the credibility of those involved is running out.
Although, Colin, we have to be fair as well and say that you were in the executive, the SDLP was in the executive at the time. So were you aware of the conversations that were going on?
We weren't in the department of OFM, DFM. And what you're telling me, and you know, again, I'm kind of looking at this blind, but what you're telling me is that an official from OFM, DFM put pressure to keep this scheme open. And that is extremely concerning. Never mind the DUP element, which is getting worse by the day.
Could I also make this point, that this seems to have coincided with the time when the DUP pretending they were concerned about the murder of McGuigan, was opting in and out of government. Now, of course...
Well, the DP would very much reject your language of pretending to do anything. So let's stick to this story this morning.
Well, they went back with their tail between
Let's stick to this story.
But when a minister resigned for 4 or 5 days a week, the SPAD was also officially stood down because the contract with the SPAD was with the minister. So how were these SPADs operating at this time to do these things? Were they continuing to offer their services under a guise which officially they didn't hold? So I think there are questions there in respect of SPADs, although I suppose if there was an acting First Minister, maybe those SPADs technically remained in office within OFM, DFM. But I think there's much to be explained here, and I think we do need to know, was the in-out carry-on a part of what contributed to the delay in respect of closure of or the amendment of the scheme? It wasn't closed, it was amended.
I think it's very important, actually, because I'm sure as members of the public listening to this, you know, we've been reading into the detail of this day and night. So it's really important just to remind you of the basic of this story so that you get it. So up till now, it has been the civil servants who have been getting the pressure. Why didn't they close the scheme? Why didn't they flag it up? And indeed, the civil servants will admit that they should have seen red flags earlier and that they should have seen the detail of this earlier. What we are putting into the public domain this morning that hasn't been put in until right now is that we know that officials from the Office of First and Deputy First Minister and the DUP put pressure to keep that scheme open. And it was during that time. And when we say open, the scheme remained open, of course, until February. We're talking about open in terms of the lucrative payments, which continued
the original
up until November.
Scheme.
Yeah, the original scheme. And it was during that period that the scheme stayed open up until November. It was during that period that a lot of your public money was spent.
Just in simple terms, every pound you spend on fuel, you get 1.60 back. And that is where this £400 million shortfall, which is basically what the Northern Ireland budget is having to make up for, or is projected to, although Stormont, we should say, have been saying that they might try to find ways of clawing that back. Just to pick up on Jim Allister's point, just very briefly, what is important to note is that although people will say the in-out policy had a real issue here, and it may well have done in terms of the debate and what was happening there, it is also worth noting that civil servants were raising this in June and July. They make a point of saying early summer. And actually, when we talk about the original submission in the executive's response here, they say that there was an amendment suggested on the 2nd of September 2015. That was before the in-and-out policy began. Yet, bizarrely, although there was apparently, I'm told, a 1st of October date that was suggested, then it became a 4th of November date, which the executive makes reference to. Of course, it didn't close until the 17th of November. And that is the key period, the period where this scheme just completely got out of control.
Stephen, the question here is, was the scheme...
I'll tell you what the question is, Colm, straight away. Here's the question. Who put on the pressure to keep the scheme open and who advised them?
And why?
Yeah, that's the that, you know, if you want to sum this programme up... Now, we're breaking another story in about 2 minutes. But if you want to sum the question up, who put on the pressure to keep the scheme open? And why? And for
whose benefit? For whose benefit? Was it kept open so that people could get into the scheme? The correlation between the pressure being put on and the spike in applications is very, very significant.
Now,
and the follow-up question, who then did get into the scheme?
Yeah.
Now, in terms of Mr. McCormick, because remember that we are saying as a programme this morning that Andrew McCormick... in June of this year, had indicated that he wanted the scheme closed by September. Had that scheme closed by September, the spike might never have happened. Okay? So that is key. In terms of Mr. McCormick, to be fair to him, let's read out the full statement from the Department of Economy, which was sent on his behalf when we put these questions to him. As this matter is currently under consideration by the Northern Ireland Assembly's Public Accounts Committee, it would not be appropriate for any officials who were involved with this scheme to comment. This is in line with Department of Finance guidance and the general principle that no comment should be made until all matters are fully considered and the Assembly's process is complete. Well, all I would say to Mr McCormick this morning, if you can't tell the public, Andrew McCormick, you can tell the Public Accounts Committee who put the pressure, Andrew. Who was it?
There is another person we should mention in this, of course, and it was the then Enterprise Minister, Jonathan Bell. We have bid through the DUP to try to speak to him. I put a bid in yesterday and asked again this morning. The DUP came back and said they didn't think it would be possible. We've gone back to them again to see if they have spoken to Jonathan Bell himself.